I was definitely always like the crying kid.
Like that was kind of like my thing, is like everything I would be in, I would always like have to sob. So I feel like that was like my niche, and I'm like, I can play like crazy people now, which is so fun.
Welcome to Story and Craft. Now, here's your host, Mark Preston.
Okay, here we go. Another episode of Story and Craft. Welcome back. Hey, if this is your first time, thanks so much for checking it out. My name is Mark Preston. Glad to have you here. Today, cool episode. Really enjoyed the conversation with the lovely, talented actor, Kylie Rogers. She's had a pretty extensive career as a child actor, working alongside Russell Crowe in the movie Fathers and Daughters, played Russell Crowe's daughter. Also acted with Joaquin Phoenix in Bo is Afraid. If you are a fan of Yellowstone, you probably know her best as the young Beth Dutton. Now she has a cool starring role in a movie called Landscape with Invisible Hand, along with Michael Gandolfini. This episode was recorded a little while back. We're just releasing it now because, of course, with the SAG-AFTRA strike, wanted to be in solidarity and not release any episodes with any member of the union during the strike. Want to be respectful of that, of course. But glad we get to release this episode because Kylie, super charming, very talented actor, and I think you'll enjoy the conversation. Real quick, want to remind you, everything Story and Craft is available at storyandcraftpod.com. Where are we on social media? You want to send me a note, anything, just go to the website. It's all right there for you. Now let's jump into it with Kylie. Really enjoyed this conversation. She was sitting outside enjoying a beautiful day. Birds chirping in the background. It's got this little kind of peaceful vibe going on. So it's kind of a little aesthetic, cool thing to the interview. I should be doing my interviews outside. Got to figure out a way to do that. All right, let's get after it. It is Kylie Rogers Day today on Story and Craft. Hello. Thank you so much for taking time out to chat with me today.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Now, where are you joining me from today?
I am joining you from LA right now. I'm usually in New York, though.
Oh, you say you live in New York. That's where your home base is?
Yes.
Now, I did see you're originally from Dallas, correct?
I'm originally from Houston, but everywhere says Dallas for some reason. I'm not sure, but I'm from Houston.
Well, you were going to be a member of the cool club because I'm from Dallas, but you saying you're from Houston, I don't know. That's, I'm playing.
I love Dallas.
There were one or two decent things in Houston. I'm totally, you know, actually, I remember I was living in New Orleans at the time when Hurricane Katrina came through, mm-hmm. and we evacuated Houston. People in Houston took very, very good care of us. So as a lifelong Dallas kid, I will say, okay, Houston earned my respect. They did take good care of us.
I'm glad.
Well, I did this. I was speaking with somebody. Who was I talking to recently? There was a country singer I was speaking with recently.
Oh, cool.
And I got to ask anybody from Texas, mm-hmm. Your favorite dish on the dish. That's a little compliment. Your favorite item on the Whataburger menu.
Oh my God. Oh, wow. I have not had Whataburger in such a long time. I feel like I usually, I mean, I went when I was like, the last time I went, I was maybe like 8 or 9. I feel like I would get like just like chicken tenders and fries or something.
By the way, as a quick side note, mm-hmm. you're officially the youngest young lady I've had the opportunity to speak with, but next in line to you is Breck Bassinger, and I think she's a year or two older, mm-hmm. and she's actually from the Dallas area.
Oh,
so
cool.
It's kind of funny, all I'm accumulating my Texas people here. I have an inordinate amount of people from Texas that have been on the show, and that's not by design. It's just, you know, happenstance.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how did you end up in New York? Was that just where the work was coming from when you were a little younger?
So I lived in LA for about 10 years before I moved to New York, and then almost 2 years ago, I just kind of, after COVID happened, there's no like in-person auditions anymore. So I felt like there wasn't like a need.
I kind of like that.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it's great. I think it's easier. I think it makes just like auditioning more accessible for like everyone anywhere. You know what I mean? Because like, I remember when I was younger, before I lived in LA, I would have to like fly out to LA all the time from Houston to like go to callbacks and director sessions and stuff like that, which is like, you know, great opportunity. But like, I think it opens doors for more people probably to be seen.
Well, I'm sorry, I cut you off there. I didn't mean to, but you were saying how because of COVID, you know, things did shift
mm-hmm.
From in person to on. But yeah. you were telling me how you ended up in New York.
Yeah. So yeah. So after COVID, it was just kind of like, I was kind of like, okay, I want to go to New York now. I just kind of wanted to go. So me and my mom, we packed up and went to New York.
Now, do you have any siblings or are you an only kid?
I have three older brothers, but they're all like in college and graduated and doing their jobs.
I think the first things I saw you were like 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
I just spoke with Nathan Kress from iCarly.
Oh my God, yeah.
And we were talking about how, you know, it's, I don't want to say the strain on your family, but it creates a new dynamic. You got one kid that's doing this Hollywood thing, and you have, in your case, three other kids that are just not. How was that?
It was good. I feel like for my family, it was pretty easy because everyone was kind of doing their own thing. It was definitely like random. Like no one in my family had even been remotely close to any form of acting or being in front of the camera at all. So like it was just like purely just like my child, like my child self being like, I want to be on TV. So it was kind of random. But
wait,
it was,
so this was your choice. I mean, you were like,
yeah, it wasn't like a family thing. It wasn't like, I still have like a vet, like I obviously like don't remember my childhood when I was 4 years old, but the only memory I do have like very vividly is like I was watching TV with my mom and a commercial came on and I don't know why, but the commercial came on and I was watching it and I was like, oh my God, like that's what I want to do. And I told my mom and she was like, you're too young. Let's like, you can maybe take like some classes when you're older. And then I didn't let go. She thought I would just forget about it. But then like a few years later, I was like, you said I could be on TV. I want to take acting classes.
I was the same way. I mean, you make a promise to a kid, you can do this, that, you know, you won't remember to do your chores here and there, but you'll remember that one promise that you were making.
Exactly.
So here you are, you're younger, you think this is going to be a really cool thing to do. Mm-hmm. And your brothers are doing other stuff, you know. So you're in Houston. Are you starting off doing like commercials or print stuff? How did it kick off for you?
I went to like just my mom like looked up, you know, acting coach in Houston, and we went to like one of the first people that popped up, and for a while I was doing just like a silly like little improv class where like we would just kind of put on like funny hats and like say random things. But then I went to an acting coach and he had me memorize a monologue, and he told my mom, he was like, don't like run it with her, like just let her memorize it and let like, I just want to see what she can do. And then he was like, oh, like she's actually pretty good, you should get her an agent. So then we got like a small agency, and then I started doing commercials and like small short films, mainly commercials though. And then I kind of just worked my way up.
Now, how old were you when you started doing this?
I was 7. I was 7 years old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In that time, though, you really have done a lot of stuff as a little kid, you know, and now you're doing stuff. You're booking different jobs from a whole different age range. You're not a little girl anymore. Now you're. Well, I'm sure your parents, trust me, you're always your little girl. But
of course.
But as far as casting opportunities go, you're now kind of turning the corner. What's that like for you right now?
I think it's mainly really exciting because I can really sort of branch out into more complex characters is what I'm most excited about. Like my most previous work in Beau's Afraid was definitely like a big step from what I had been doing. I'm honestly just so excited to like start branching out into more complex, deeper, crazier, weirder characters is what I love to do. And I've always wanted to do that, but you know, I was a child.
Yeah, because I can imagine it's a little bit limiting when you're playing the little girl. I mean, although, I mean, like in Father and Daughters, I mean, that was you and Russell Crowe. That's some heavy stuff that you did at a young age.
I was definitely always like the crying kid. Like I was, like that was kind of like my thing is like everything I would be in, I would always like have to sob. So I feel like that was like my niche, like, so I have always had the opportunity to do like emotionally a little more complex characters for like younger people, I guess, which is really cool. And I've always been so grateful to do because I can, you know, just explore that. But now it's just even more, and I'm like, I can play like crazy people now, which is so fun.
anytime I speak with somebody who's always played comedic stuff, they kind of do want to do that one little thing. I want to be a murderer sometime.
Yeah, you know? Why not?
So now, when you were younger, you were the crying kid. What would get you to cry? Would you, as a little kid, were you thinking of things that were sad, or were you kind of at that method space where you could actually kind of like be in that moment of something that would make you sad? How did you get to that sad crying phase?
I think I feel like this is such like a, like everyone says this, I've always been like a very like empathetic person, so I feel like it's like on the line of like using real emotions and using just the empathy for what the character is going through, even if like
my
character.
So you're like in that moment, you're not having my dog dying, I gotta think
about
that.
No, I think maybe when I was like really little, like I probably just thought of like my dog dying. Actually, when I filmed, this is so sad, when I filmed Fathers and Daughters, I have this scene where like it's probably the most upset I am in the movie, where like I'm being dragged away from like my dad and I'm screaming, I'm like, Dad, no. My dog died the day of filming.
Oh no.
So that was just real. But that's the only like dramatic, that's the only sad thing that's ever like, that I've ever like purely acted from, I guess. But usually I'm just in the character.
I hate to use the phrase silver lining, but I
mean,
you know,
yeah, like, I mean, it's a silver lining. It's a great, yeah, it was funny, well, not funny, but you know, it's kind of like interesting to look back on.
Yeah, because I just lost, we got a golden retriever, we just lost him like 3 months ago, and that's such
sorry.
It can just wreck you. Oh, no, thank
you. Oh, no, it really does.
To have a scene that day, it's like, I gotta cry, bring it on.
Bring it on, okay.
All right, Russell. All right, Russell, bring me your, Mr. Crow, bring me your big stuff. I'm prepped up and ready to go, but you're playing a younger version of Amanda, I don't know, is it Seyfried? Is that how you say her name? Isn't it Seyfried?
I've always said Seyfried, but...
Seyfried, okay. Well, I'm going to go...
I'm so bad with names.
But you played her, the younger version of her, right?
Yeah, I did.
And, of course, on Yellowstone, your younger version of Beth, who's the kind of the sassy... Now, I will admit, I love 1883, 1923. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten around to Yellowstone yet. I've seen one episode. That's it. I'm, for some reason, going sequentially watching the show. But the one episode I did see with her, she's this real kind of brash character. Is the younger version of her the same way in Yellowstone?
Yeah, I mean, I've been playing the younger version of her since season one. So since she was, like, very young, the character. So, like, at first, it was kind of like... And this was, like, very important to Kelly Riley, who plays Beth, like, the regular Beth Dutton. We talked a lot about when I was younger, she didn't want me to play Beth. You know, she wanted me to be the child version of Beth. It wasn't supposed to be like, I'm not this like sort of fully formed version of like brash harshness. So in the beginning, it was sort of more like I show more of the vulnerability and more of like how Beth becomes that way. And then in the most recent season I'm in, this is like the first... This is kind of like the first time that you really fully start to see like the real Beth and like how like she really starts to come out and is more brash and more like confident in herself and more like also like protective of herself. So it's been really cool to play that character because I feel like I've actually like actually grown with the character, which is a rare opportunity.
Well, did you have an opportunity to sit down with Kelly Riley? Kelly Riley.
Right? Yeah.
Riley, right? Did you have a chance to, you know, did y'all sit down and ever powwow and just go, okay, here, this is a plan of attack, younger, older, us?
Yeah, you know, all the time. We do it, I mean, every time I go out to film, because, you know, obviously I come in, like, periodically. Every time I go out to film, we always, like, make it a point to, like, just, even if we can just hang out in, like, her trailer for, like, 20 minutes, we do it and we just talk. I mean, we usually just kind of catch up on life, but, like, we also, like, we'll talk a little bit about the characters, but she's mainly, like... You got it now. You've been doing this for 5 years.
It's got to be so cool, though. I mean, I imagine as an actor to sit down with somebody, you're both playing the same character but different ages, and I think that's going to be so cool for a kid. Well, kid. I'm sorry. My oldest daughter's 20. So if I call you a kid,
it's okay.
I do apologize.
And no, don't worry about it.
It's so weird. Out of context, it's like I'm sitting here going, actor, talented, love your stuff. And I'm going, well, I'm sitting here looking like, okay, you're the age of my kids. It's just, it's surreal because I'm finally at that age where I'm doing that. I'm talking with, I'm sorry. It's odd. But cool though. Very cool. Mm-hmm. Where do they film that? It is in Montana, right?
Yeah, it's in Montana.
Because I know they filmed 1883. They did pretty true to the story. They filmed it in North Texas, which was, kind of cool, Now, kind of hitting rewind. When you started, you watched a commercial. You said, Mom, I can do that. But what TV shows were you watching? What movies? What were you consuming when you were younger? Even just a handful of years ago, what were you liking? What was informing and kind of inspiring you?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, this is like why like my passion for it was so kind of random. Because like when I was younger, like I was never like a movie kid. Like I didn't watch like these like crazy like movies. I was watching like Disney and like Nickelodeon. But I just, for some reason. But when I like got older,
well, you
got
to tell me what your shows were, because
I'm just the classics like iCarly, like just stuff like that.
We were big Lilo and I hear they're doing a live action.
Love Lilo and Stitch. Yeah, they're coming out with a live action. I'm super excited. I watched like Naruto with my brothers. But like when I got older, like my favorite movie ever when I was like 10 to like 12 or 13 was like, I loved Super 8, like the alien movie with like the kids. I loved that movie. That was like my go-to.
Oh, that's right. The Spielberg movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I still love it just cause it has like such a place in my heart. I'm like, oh, cause I was like kind of like the first movie that I saw that I was like, whoa, like I think Elle Fanning is in it. And I was like, oh my God, like I want to be that. Like I looked up to Elle Fanning a lot when I was younger and still now I think she's so talented.
She is so talented. My daughter and I watched a movie of her where she was in, Europe, and it's sort of like an American Idol-ish kind of a thing, and it's just her and this.
I think I know what you're talking about, like Neon Demon.
I'm not sure, but basically she's a singer, and she ends up getting this guy to be kind of her mentor, singing mentor or something. Anyway, I'm bad about remembering the names of movies.
Me too. Don't worry.
The movie. but like musically, what were you into growing up?
Musically, growing up, I loved. Taylor Swift, she was like my go-to when I was younger. I still love her. Obviously now I just listen to very different music. And then when I was like 13 to like 15, I had a really intense love for like K-pop.
Really?
Like before, oh yeah. Like very, like I was like a super fan, but it was like before it was like no one even knew really what it was in the States when I was a fan of it. So like, it was like, people would ask me what I listened to, and I would like be like, "Oh, K-pop," and like no one even knew what it was, which is like really weird.
But how did you become into? How did K-pop come in your field of view, though?
I was obsessed with YouTube. I still watch a lot of YouTube. I just think it's like fun. It's because it's like quick videos, right? But I watched this one channel on YouTube that was like they would like have like teenagers and kids like react to different things, and like one of the videos was like they reacted to K-pop. And I watched it, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is so cool. And then that's how I was, like, introduced to it. And then I just, like,
Did I see a picture of you with,
with BTS?
Yeah, did I? Yeah. Am I imagining that?
No, that
so
happened.
So were you losing your mind in that picture?
I was, like, 13 years old. I think I tweeted, I don't know. I was so stupid. I, like, tweeted about BTS because I was 13, and I was, like, a fangirl. And then, but because I'm verified, I commented on Charlie Puth's post about BTS. And that's what happened. And because I'm verified, it like stuck to the very top of the comment section. And then everyone saw it.
Okay.
And then their publicist reached out to me.
Back when verified actually meant something before. your parents, I mean, well, let's actually touch on them real quick. What were they doing? Like, what's your dad's vocation and your mom? What were they up to?
Yeah, my mom was, my dad was just working. And then my mom was like the best stay-at-home mom ever. She took care of me and my brothers, and she's like my best friend, and she's kept me very grounded, and I'm very grateful for her to have her while growing up and acting. I think she was a very important aspect in that. And my brothers were in school chilling, and we'd watch cartoons. I don't know.
No, what kind of work did your dad do?
He ran his father's company, I think.
Well, we surmise they're not actors.
Yeah, no. I was the only one, just in my entire bloodline in general, like, no one, like, my grandparents, no one was, like, in it. I don't know. It was very, very random for me to randomly decide that.
Is your family from Texas originally, or are they kind of...
Yeah.
Actually, it's kind of funny. I finally get to move back to Texas. I was debating getting back to the West Coast, and my daughter's doing it. My youngest is doing a gap year. She's in Europe right now, you know.
Oh, awesome. You know,
she's doing, like, 6 weeks to get some college credit in Barcelona.
That is so cool. Wow.
Yeah, I would love to be my kids. But when she comes back, she's doing her gap year with me, and I'm actually decided I can work from anywhere. Like, where do I want to be? I want to be near the beach, so I'm going to South Padre. I'm actually getting a place down there.
Oh my God,
and,
awesome.
So get to be a Texan again, and I'm literally about 90 seconds from Whataburger, so, you know, it's cool.
Amazing.
But kind of moving forward in your career when you were a youngin', you're kind of moving out of being the little kid. Well, I mean... I'm trying to think. You were in Collateral Beauty, which I've seen it once. But what a great cast! Well,
yeah.
I mean, you were. I mean, if you're there, you're with Will Smith and Edward Norton, both talented. But and I think Michael Peña was in that as well, who's I think a great. And Helen Mirren. I got to think for Helen Mirren. What was that experience like for you?
It was so great. It was honestly like one of the best experiences I've had. Ed Norton played my father. He was the only person that I like really like that I worked with, and he was great. He was so super like cool, and I obviously I was so nervous going into it because I was like, oh my God, I'm like 14 years old and these are like all like such big actors, but I feel like you always get that, like the anticipation of like, oh my God, and then you get there and everything's so normal and fine and great.
At that age, were you really thinking, these are adults, I'm a kid? Or were you at that stage where you're like, I kind of know what I'm doing. Well, I'm going to a job, so are they. Or how were you framing that at that age?
I feel like it was sort of like a mix of both of like, oh, okay, well, like, this is like both our job. Like, we're doing the same thing. We do the same thing. But like at the same time, it was also like, oh my God, these are like, you know, people that I like look up to. And I think that are like so talented and amazing and cool that I just want. I was mainly worried about like, I need to do a really good job because I love all these people. And then I remember Will came to set one day while I was working. And I was like so nervous to meet him because I'm obsessed with Fresh Prince. So I was like, oh my God. And then I met him and he was literally like the nicest person in the world. And I didn't film too much, but
well, that's a little before your time. What were they replaying Fresh Prince like on Nickelodeon ever, or
I think on like Nick at Night it would play, but I think I discovered it because I think it was on like Netflix or something, and I was just like looking through, and I just like started watching it, and I love that show so much. But yeah, it was just kind of like a random, like I just happened to find it and start watching it.
So that, Edward Norton, have you seen the new, was it Knives Out, Glass something?
Oh my God, yeah, I did. I love it. It's so funny.
Such a talented guy. Did you do any kind of preparation if you're playing his daughter? Were you watching any of his old movies or anything to kind of figure out who he was before you did that role?
Not really. I tend to not do that just because, I mean, you know, like, I feel like the characters anyone plays, but like especially like Ed Norton, I feel like he plays, like, there's so many different types of characters he plays, you know what I mean? So like I didn't want to get like hooked on like one, trying to adapt to like one person, so I just kind of like went on. And like in a part of, I don't know if you saw Collateral Beauty, but like we're kind of like estranged, like he's like, I kind of think he's like an asshole and I don't really talk to him in the movie, so like he's trying to like have a connection with me again, so like it's kind of good that we didn't do any like relationship building exercises or anything. We literally just like showed, we just acted, we just did it. It was great.
As far as your acting training goes, you did the stuff in Houston. Did you kind of further that when you got to LA? Did you take some classes, or did you that whole thing that's first part of the question, but second part, were you doing a lot of the like pilot season, were you going out to LA to audition a lot?
Oh my God, yeah.
You know, just kind of trying to figure out like kind of when you reached that next, when you did the next step, as it were, what were you up to?
Yeah, when I first came out here, I was definitely doing like the whole like pilot season thing, which that's so funny. I haven't thought about that in so long. Yeah.
No, did you do the thing? Did you live at the Oak? Was it the Oakwood or?
Oh my God, yes, I did. For like, I think not for a long time. I think for like literally like a week we stayed there, and then we maybe even like a couple days, and then we moved somewhere else. But I did briefly stay at the Oakwood, which is so funny that you bring that up.
If I was a kid, to me that would be damn near magical to be around a lot of other young actor kids, but you get to be a kid when you're back there, and it looks like a cool place to live for a kid, you know.
I guess so. I barely remember it.
Yeah, I don't know what name it is now.
I think it's like the Ava now.
Yeah, I drove by with a daughter. I was like, hey, that, I pointed it out and tried to explain it to her. I was at an awards show back in December and drove by. I was like, oh yeah, hey, that, I tried to explain it to her. I was like, as I'm telling her the story, as I could tell her, she's just not remotely.
She's like, okay.
For me, it's kind of a cool, yeah, because like, okay, listen to my podcast. You'll know a lot of kids live there, you know.
Yeah.
She's the voice of the podcast, but I don't think has even heard an episode, but I digress. So you're out there, you're doing the pilot season stuff. Are you doing the training thing as well, or are you in classes?
I kind of stayed out of classes and stuff. I think I may, like, maybe when I first got out here, I did, like, a fun little group thing, but that was just to kind of, like, meet people, like, meet, like, friends, I guess. But it wasn't really, I don't even remember it. But I stayed out of, like, acting classes or acting coaches. Because I think honestly, mainly because like the very first time in Texas when I met that one acting coach, I think his name was John. He told us, he was like, don't touch her. Like, she's fine. Like, he kind of gave us advice to like not like over train me, I guess, basically. So I don't like, I don't know. So I just kind of like stuck with that. And I still stick with that. I'm like, okay. So yeah, I just kind of like do my own thing.
Well, that's a tremendous compliment. There's instinct there, you know.
Yeah, it's very nice.
I can see where that would derail a kid a little bit. If you already have the instincts.
Yeah.
Play is still dialed in. You don't have to be method when it comes to playing. I was telling somebody the other day, cops and robbers or whatever. You know, kids play. You just are. You can just be.
Yeah.
Now, as you're getting a little bit older, are you kind of seeking out any kind of like, okay, I want to start stretching and getting into some classes, or are you still trusting your instinct kind of a thing?
No, I definitely just stay kind of like with my instinct. I just feel like I'm the kind of person where like, if I find something that works for me, I just like, I just stick with it. Like, just like in life in general, like with foods I like, with like, with anything. If I like something, I just stick with it. So, yeah.
You like a gregarious kid growing up, and were you just a lot of personality, or were you kind of shy?
I was so shy. I was like so quiet. I was quiet as a mouse. And I think that's why I liked acting so much, because it kind of, and that's still why I like acting, because I have a lot of like social anxiety and just anxiety. So like being able to like be these characters and kind of like be a different person and like say things that I wouldn't normally say or do things I wouldn't normally do is like so, it's just so fun for me, which is I think why
it's got to be kind of cathartic and kind of freeing a little bit.
It's like therapeutic. Yeah. It's like therapy.
Yeah, I was the same way. I wanted to be in radio since I was a little kid, and when I was 17 I started in Dallas. I was it's so funny, all the kids are doing the high school football thing Friday night, and I would go work the all-night shift at a radio station, you know, when I was a junior.
That's so
in high
cool
school. And, you know, I thought it was, like, really cool, but I found that, you know, I was at the, I mean, I got along with everybody as friends with, you know, tons of people, but I wasn't really boisterous or anything. But when I was doing the radio thing, I found I could spread my wings.
Yeah.
So, did acting become kind of, like, magnetic for you? So, this is, like, this whole other world that the kids you grow up with maybe didn't really know about, you know? What was that like?
I'd say so to a certain extent, because I remember, like, I stopped, like, going to actual school in, like, fourth or fifth grade, I think, but before then, like, I mean, I always had friends, like, I was shy, but I had, like, friends, but it was always, like, they were always, like, very confused about the acting thing, and I'd, like, get pulled out of school randomly to, like, go audition or something, and everyone would be like, oh my God, like, what's happening, what are you doing, but I felt like, yeah, acting just kind of like opened up a lot of different doors for me, just like personally, of just like in my life, of being like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I don't know. It's fun.
Yeah, I remember being young and auditioning for stuff and thinking, I didn't want anybody knowing about it because I auditioned for like an orange juice or some kind of juice or breakfast product audition commercial when I was in fifth or sixth grade. I think I was sixth grade. And so I come back and everybody's like, oh, you know, Mr. Holly, would you get, are you, I'm thinking,
yeah.
I kind of wanted to have a line of delineation where I did that thing, an audition, and didn't really go to, I think I was in a Pepsi commercial. No, I know I was in a Pepsi commercial, and hand to God, I was in the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders movie. There was a movie, an ABC movie of the week, and so I got that. But yeah. I was doing it just for fun. For me, it was just fun.
Yeah.
You know, that, and I didn't really want the kids in school knowing about it because they had their impression of what that was.
Yeah.
But that kind of fizzled by the time I got to junior high. I was on the sports. Mm-hmm. So what was that like with a friend situation? You know, you have this other thing developing. Mm-hmm. Kids, that I'm sure you wanted to spend time with. Or were you kind of digging being with the adults and the on-set ecosystem?
I'm kind of a person that like adapts to like everything, I guess, and I feel like I was sort of like that even when I was younger. But my mom definitely made sure that like I was hanging out with like my friends as much as I could to keep me a normal child and not just be like I don't know, an acting robot. She was like very careful about it. Cuz when we first started, she didn't really know anything about it, so it kind of like scared her of like what it was going to do to me, like, mentally. So she was, like, very, like, when I'm not working, like, we didn't talk about acting. Like, I was just a kid, you know? I was just a normal kid. So I honestly don't even, like, really think it affected, like, my friendships that much when I was younger. Of course, I don't keep in touch with those people anymore because, I mean, I was in, like, first grade. But it didn't, I don't remember it really having, like, a crazy, like, effect on anything. My friends, like, thought it was cool that I, like, acted, but that was, like, the extent of it, of just, like, oh, okay, cool.
You mentioned before, you said something about food, and you kind of have your, I'm trying to figure out how you phrased it a moment ago, but you say I'm like that way about food as well. Yeah, so you you have your things you would like, and you stick to them. Is that kind of the thing?
Yeah.
I gotta know. Anybody who listens to this program knows I always end up talking about food at some point.
Of course.
What was it? What was like your go-to, or what still is your go-to?
My go-to.
Have you expanded your food palate, or are you just
kind
of like, this is just like my thing now?
I've definitely never been like a picky eater by any means. Like, I will try anything once, but like the things I do like, I kind of get like a fixation on them with certain foods. But like for me, it's always like, even since I was like little, it's been like sushi. Like, I will eat sushi breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Like, miso soup, oh my god, it's so good. What else? And just like a good steak. I don't know, that's what I like. Oh, popcorn's like my favorite snack in the world. So there's that.
Yeah, high five for popcorn. I'm there with you. Yeah, that's in my golden retriever. We had popcorn was his thing, you know, which is, so is a snack, also a sport. He would always catch it no matter where I threw the popcorn.
That's so cute. My dog's the same way. I always feed her popcorn. She's like her favorite snack.
Oh yeah, it's a good, like they said, dogs, it's a dog friendly snack.
Yeah.
But sushi thing, yeah. My daughter was she was just in Israel for 2 weeks, about 10 days. Mm-hmm. And first thing she did when she got back, she just wanted sushi. That was her thing. She's like, I am so tired of falafel. I need sushi. Now you're living in New York. You can walk to like all kinds of just great places. Where do you like to eat there?
I like to eat, my favorite place to go there, like my favorite food in the world, like that Trump, like it's like, it destroys everything, is like breakfast foods. I love breakfast foods. I will eat it any time of day. Like, oh my God. So my favorite place in New York for breakfast foods is this little French place called Bouvette, which is like, it's pretty famous. It's pretty popular, but it's teensy tiny. And they have like the best, just like runny eggs. Like, I really like runny scrambled eggs and like salmon. And it comes with like cream on like this like nice just piece of toast. Oh, it's so good. That's my favorite. That's like probably my favorite.
Yeah, creme fraiche or something.
Creme fraiche. Yeah. I didn't know how to pronounce it, so I was like,
"Hey, that's close enough."
Good enough.
I'm the same way. Yeah, no, my youngest daughter, 17-year-old's in Paris right now, and we're texting last night because I'm up late so we can connect, you know, and because of time difference. And she's telling me that she went to the Louvre today, but they've only taken her, the kids, to, like, she showed me something from Starbucks. I'm like, hold up, you're in Paris, like, where cafes got their jam on, and you're going to Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And then she said, look what I got, is Stroop waffles, like little waffly thing with caramel inside.
Yeah.
And it's a Dutch, like, treat, but she got it from Starbucks. I'm like, you're going to be in Holland in a couple of weeks. Why are you so... She's been plowing through baguettes, apparently, she's been over there. So now you're in LA now, but when you're in New York, you're still young, you know. Is that... What's it like to be there and have your family be back in Texas? Have you adjusted to that new dynamic, or do you kind still feel homesick?
When me and my mom moved to LA when I was like 9, so it's not really like a new dynamic to me. It's been like that for like 12 years. But
okay.
I mean, it's not like... Me and my brothers always keep in touch, and we always visit, and they come visit, and I go see my grandparents all the time. Like, it's really, like, it's just, like, what it is.
All right, so I guess Cracker Barrel, since you like breakfast stuff, is probably, you like that Southern thing, or you like more, like, Eggs Benedict, that kind of breakfast thing?
More like that, like, Eggs Benedict, but also just, like, pancakes, like, a big stack of, like, pancakes is... I love that.
Well, in L.A., did you ever go to, my jam is Cantor's. Did you ever go to Cantor's Deli on Fairfax?
And no.
How dare you?
I'm so sad. I'll go this trip. Let me write it down.
I'm telling you, I was even talking with Andrew Zimmer, the guy from Food Network, not too long ago. And we're just, because I don't have a decent deli.
I wrote it down in my notes.
Yeah, Cantor's on Fairfax. You got to get, there's this thing, it's called a mishmash. It's a soup. It's matzo ball soup with some other stuff in there.
I love
and then you get whatever
soup.
Sandwich.
It's all written down.
So I need to hear a report back from you because I can't believe you didn't go.
I can't believe I've never been there.
But you're in LA right now.
Yeah, I'm in LA for like the next month. I'm learning how to drive right now. So
really?
Yeah.
In doing the research, one of the things we looked at the Instagram and I showed my daughter last night. One of those videos you were driving, though, if I'm not mistaken. Mistaken. I'm sorry if I busted you just now, but
I mean it's on my Instagram.
Okay, that's true.
No, you're not busting me. My friend, that was like a month ago, and I was with my friend driving around, and she was like, we were just talking about how I've never ever driven, and she was like, you've like never driven your entire life, and I was like, no, and she was like, okay, well let's just drive. Right now. And we just like drove in a little parking lot, but it was like, it was a good time. It was terrifying. I was like, oh my God. I was going like the slowest you could possibly go in a car. But I was like, oh my God. But I have my very first official, I have my permit now, and I have my first official driving lesson tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, so you're learning to drive in LA?
Yes. I don't want to learn how to drive in New York. I have like an address here, so that's not like. So it's like good, but
well, it's hard to and I wouldn't want to learn how to drive in New York. That's gonna be rough in the city.
I'm never gonna drive in New York. I'd probably only ever drive when I came out here, because even like if I'm filming somewhere, you have to be like what, like 25 to rent a car. So even if I was filming somewhere where I drove, I still wouldn't be able to. So I just want to learn for like when I come out, because I come out to LA for like long periods of time. So I want to.
You're in that weird phase. I remember being 19, and my daughter's 20, and I forgot, like you just mentioned, you got to be 25. You got to be 25 to rent a car.
Yeah,
and
that's crazy.
But my daughter, who just got, she's flying back from Israel. She needs to stay the night in a hotel, and then she's going to go fly out of like JFK or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my ex-wife had to fly to New York because you have to be 21, I think, to rent a hotel up there.
Yeah.
So she couldn't even rent a hotel. So I'm like,
it's so silly.
I was like, oh, just a sad little baby. Poor thing. I was giving her a hard time. And it's like, because, you know, my kids are really mature. They could, but I'm like, yeah, that's right. You're in that weird hammock of time after 18. You're 18. You're older.
Yeah. You're like legally, you're technically an adult, but yeah.
You don't feel like you're treated this such.
My loophole to always get around is just get an Airbnb. Because Airbnb, you just have to be 18 to get an Airbnb.
Oh, very cool.
But like, so with when you just have to stay like one night in a hotel, like you don't want to spend like $300 on an Airbnb. That's ridiculous. So like,
yeah,
it's like, ugh. It's a hassle.
Yeah, but you know, the dad in me is like, I don't know, you know, I'd prefer being a hotel like next to Airbnb. I'm like, I don't know who owns this place.
Yeah, no, I only stay like with like other people that I know. Never alone.
You were in cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah.
Now, didn't Zach Braff, was it, but didn't he direct it also, or am I imagining that? Because I know he directs a lot of stuff.
He did not direct Cheaper by the Dozen, but he just directed what's it called, A Good Person, I think, with Florence Pugh. Such a beautiful movie. He's directed a few like episodes of like I think he directed an episode of Ted Lasso or something. He's so talented. He's a great actor, he's hilarious, and he's the coolest person and a great director. That's crazy.
I'm trying to remember the one he did with Natalie Portman. I'm drawing a blank. It was such a good movie. Great soundtrack, too. In fact, I think it may have won an Academy Award for the soundtrack. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow.
And of course, naturally, I'm forgetting the name of the movie. But I'm sure somebody listening to this is screaming at it. I go, that's that. It's funny. Erica Christensen, even, who's in that. She was a young actor as well.
Yeah.
You know, it is odd for me sometimes to see some of these actors. Now they're playing really adult roles. I'm like, they're not a kid actor anymore. And that's kind of what brings me to kind of what you're doing. You've been doing this so long. You're stepping into more Beau is Afraid. I have not seen that yet. But what was kind of your thing in that movie? What was your character?
Yeah, I play a very interesting, complex character. I play Tony, who's the daughter of Nathan Lane and Amy Ryan, who are both angels, and I'm so happy that I got to work with them. But most of my scenes were with Joaquin.
I mean, Nathan Lane, I mean, Timon or Pumbaa, I forgot which one he was, but Lion King, that's, you know.
Yeah, he's literally, he's the best. I loved working with him, he's so funny. But I mainly worked with Joaquin, but I play their kind of like crazy, mean. I'm so mean in the movie. Oh my god, I bully Joaquin basically the whole time, and she's just sort of like this complex. My older brother in the movie passed away. He was in like the military or something. He passed away in action. And the parents sort of focus so much on like his death that they like kind of forget about me. So I'm sort of like this like really messed up, mentally desperate teenager who's doing terrible, terrible things to get attention from her parents. And then Joaquin sort of comes in and they start treating him like the son, and I like freak out, and it's a whole thing. It's crazy. You should see the movie. It's insane.
Is it in theaters or is it streaming now?
I don't think it's fully streaming yet. I think you can rent it, but it should be streaming.
What is your tattoo? I showed my daughter last night. I was like, because we're looking for, she was actually helping me find a picture, but what is that tattoo of? I'm very intrigued what that is.
It's a tulip and a daisy. So I think the tulip, I might be reversing them, but the tulip is my mom's favorite flower. And then the daisy is my favorite flower. But I think a daisy, coincidentally, I think a daisy is also like the birth flower of like my mom's birth month. So it's just sort of like a little, it's just a cute little tattoo to like, cause I love my mom and I wanted a tattoo.
I've never gotten one, but I haven't thought of anything that I would want. Although every time I go down to South Padre, my youngest gets something pierced. We haven't gotten to I said, I don't really want you to have a tattoo. Like, wait till you're 18, get a little older, you know?
Yeah.
But I did see you were born. You're a February kid too. So, you know.
Yes.
You know, you got props there. I was born on the 1st, so you're talking about the birth flower. I don't even know what I don't know what February is.
I don't know what February is either, actually.
To go forward, now you got to tell me a little bit about Landscape with Invisible Hand.
Yeah,
because I saw a trailer, a clip. I couldn't quite get my head around it. What exactly it was all about, but without giving anything away, kind of what's that about?
Well, it's based on a book called Landscape with Invisible Hand by M.T. Anderson, I believe. And it's sort of just about, it's a post-apocalyptic-ish sort of world where aliens have taken over the world economically rather than like physical like battles and you know, like normal like alien sci-fi movies, which are amazing and I love them. But this is just like such an interesting take on it, I feel. because it's about them attacking the world just economically, and they completely drain the world of like all its resources, all its money, like everything. So, and it's also just sort of a stance on like, just like the differences in like society and how like, how differently people get treated based on how much money they have or don't have. And it's a, but like,
is the, it like, you know, is it looking at like social standing and things like that?
Or? Yeah, a lot of things. I think it's very relevant to today. But at the heart of it, it's a, like sort of a coming of age-ish romance movie between, Adam and Chloe. I play Chloe, and Asante Black plays Adam, and he's amazing. And yeah, it's sort of about us trying to survive in that environment. My family moves in with him, and it's about us trying to survive in that environment together. And to do so, we begin fake dating we begin dating on live streams for the aliens to watch, because they don't understand love, so they think it's like really interesting to watch people date. Basically.
So you're an alien influencer kind of a thing.
You know, I am.
I saw Michael Gandolfini is in it. And what is
yes!
he, what, where does he figure in?
He plays my older brother, and he is my favorite human. He's also in Beau's Afraid, but we didn't meet each other when we filmed that. We only met each other in Landscape, but it's kind of like, it's kind of cool that we're like, we're in both of those things. He's like my older brother in real life. He's great.
He wasn't really on my radar until I saw him playing the younger version of his dad in the Sopranos prequel, if you
The Many Saints in Newark.
Newark, okay, yeah, because I'm really bad about remembering names in movies.
That's okay.
But no, he's so talented, and
he's
I was like, how did I not know he was out there doing this also?
I know, he's great.
When it comes to the movie release, has your mother come to one of the, you know, the movie premieres with you and on the red carpet thing yet?
Yeah, I mean, she doesn't go on the red carpets, but I like to bring her to my movie premieres just because, I mean, sometimes I like bring like my friends as well, but I mainly just like to kind of keep it like small and bring like one person and then like my team. But yeah, she always comes and supports me at my premieres and stuff. She hates like anything to do with like pictures or cameras though. So like when I go on the red carpet, she always like runs to like the very end and just like waits, waits with like my publicists and my agents, and they're all like, go girl. And I'm like, hey.
This is something that intrigues me. Like you're, as a parent kind of looking at it, because you're younger and you know, you really can kind of have a real good, a parent can more navigate things, but now you're on your own. You got your own social media stuff.
Yeah,
going on, and you're sort of navigating that on your own. Mm-hmm. As a young actor, you're coming up in the era of social media where that does have an impact, and you need to be active and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Is it weird for you to get attention now, because you did as a shy kid growing up? Now you have attention. Now that's kind of the gig, you know. Does that present any challenges for you, or do you kind of enjoy it? Have you grown into it, or is it still kind of awkward for you?
I think it really depends. Like, I think, like in terms of like Instagram and stuff, like that sort of attention.
Well that, but the attention, like there was one picture we went through as we were looking last night of mm-hmm. you had to have been like 8, 9, 10 years old mm-hmm. signing autographs. I'm like,
oh yeah.
What a head trip that has to be. Like, it's almost like, why do you have pictures of me that should sign? That's odd. Okay. You know, but it's that kind of attention that mm-hmm. in your face, is that hard for you to process that attention? Do you compartmentalize that? Do you give yourself a lot of non-entertainment industry time for hobbies and stuff to kind of draw a line of delineation between those two aspects of your life?
I think mainly, well, growing up, I was mainly just like excited. I was like, oh my God, people want like my autograph. Yeah, I just thought it was cool. And then like, because I've like grown up with it sort of, I guess it's just sort of like just another part of, like, I just like, it's my job. It's another part of my life. And I love getting to have the chance to meet people that want to meet me because they like my work. I think that's like the coolest thing in the world when I get to meet people like that. But growing up, I feel like it never really affected me or I thought it was weird or I don't know. It never really affected me, just mainly because of the people I surrounded myself with. I think it's important to surround yourself with just... For me, it was really important to surround myself with people not in the industry. It's just, like, normal kids with normal parents, normal, you know, just, like, just people that are, like, so far out of that. And I think that was really actually good for me personally to just, like... I even now, I separate my personal life with my job, like, very, like... clearly, like, when I'm working, and then when I'm not, I'm like, it's like out of sight, out of mind, sort of. So
yeah, that makes a lot of sense. For me, I struggle. I'm like, I don't want to really mess with social media that much, but you kind of have to these days, you know. Are there people out there that you used as a template? You watched the arc of their career from when they were young, and now they're working successful actors. Is there anybody you? I'm not saying patterned yourself after, but somebody that you had your eye on growing up.
I guess like Elle Fanning, like I said earlier. I always thought she was great, and like the way she carried herself, I always looked up to, and she was always very like private, which I consider myself like a pretty private person. Like I share things about myself, but I also just like make sure to have that like layer of privacy where like people don't need to know everything about me. And also Julia Roberts, I like loved her growing up. I still love her because I love rom-coms, and like 90s romantic movies are like my favorite in the world. So, like, Notting Hill and stuff like that, and, like, Mystic Pizza. so I looked up to those two wonderful ladies for a while, and I still definitely keep up with both of them. Not, like, personally, but just, like, their work
well,
and
sure
stuff.
Keep up. Give them a call. Say hey.
Hey, girl.
It's been a while, like forever. If you were to do that 5-year thing, what kind of things do you want to see show up? What kind of things do you see that you'd like to do?
I think I just want to do like everything. I want to try everything. I have so much love for like every genre of like every movie ever. Like, I of course like particularly like I like to do more character driven films with like kind of more like realistic, like gritty people that maybe are a little more emotionally complex or just like maybe like a little messed up in some way, I think is really interesting to dive into as an actor. But yeah, I mean, I just kind of want to try everything. I think that's what's so beautiful about acting is that you can be so many different people.
Before we get going, I do have one last thing to do. I could call my 7 questions, a little additional kind of fun get to know you. And of course, I got to start off with food because we talked about it before. But what is your favorite comfort food? That thing that you just, if you've had a bad day or an amazing day, you just kind of like, okay, I want to come home and I want to have this thing.
Definitely a chocolate frosty and French fries from Wendy's. Dipping the French fries in the frosty, of course. That's my favorite in the world.
Oh, to be that age when those things don't bother you. I just got indigestion listening to you talk about that. But this sounds delightful.
It is.
But you know, you didn't mention a Whataburger shake, but it's okay. But that's my jam. But the key is I always go and say, I want them to mix strawberry and chocolate together. That's my jam.
That's so good, yeah.
It is tasty. Now, if you were to sit down, next question, you're going to have a coffee for a few hours sitting down with 3 people, living or not.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Number one is Seth Rogen. He's like my favorite ever. Oh my God, this is so hard. Maybe like...
But I got to ask you, what's your favorite Seth Rogen movie?
That's so hard. I've literally seen all of his movies. It's really, I mean, I love like the, I think it was a TV show, like Freaks and Geeks, I think is what it was called.
Oh,
he was
yeah,
in that when he was like pretty young. I love that. I love This Is the End. I love.
I just watched it the other night again. Yeah.
It's great.
But to me, the OG one is Knocked Up.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love that movie.
Yeah, I did the reboot, This Is 40. I'm like, he wasn't in it. I'm like, they got to do a This Is 50. Because now Seth Rogen's kid from that, you know, the Knocked Up would be 17, 18 years old, right? You know, so
it would be perfect.
It would be fun seeing him as a dad. But but so you'd be sitting down, he'd be having coffee or maybe a couple other things too, but we'll stick with coffee. Who would the other two be?
The other two would be, oh my god, this is so, like, I'm like forgetting every single person's name that has ever existed all of a sudden. Maybe Seth Rogen. I'm gonna throw, this is like so silly because I know him, but like Joaquin Phoenix is because he's an angel, and I think coffee with him and Seth Rogen would be so funny. And then lastly, I'd say, like, I'm trying to think. Oh my god. I feel like I don't know. I've like, who have I been talking about recently? Oh, Selena Gomez. I love Selena Gomez so much. That's like so random. I feel like that's a weird combination of people, but I love Selena Gomez. I think she's the cutest
another Texas
human
kid,
ever.
You know.
Yeah, another Texas kid.
Your parents probably can identify, but when mine were growing up, I could hear this the first few notes of every single theme song at Disney Channel. I knew it showed. So the Wizards of Waverly Place is the one that sticks with me. That seemed to be on TV the most. Mm-hmm. God, I feel old. So that would be a great sit down. That would be interesting,
for sure.
If you ever pull that together, give me a call. I'll come by.
I will. I will.
Now, if you were to go back when you were younger, who was your first celebrity crush?
Oh my god.
Besides Seth Rogen.
Obviously. Duh. Wait, I need to look up his name because I know exactly who it is. And he was on Wizards of Waverly Place. He played the werewolf. His name is Greg Sulkin. That was like my first like really big crush. I was in love with him. That was like, he was British in the, I don't know if he's British in real life, but he's British in Wizards of Waverly Place, and I was like, oh my god, this is crazy.
How old were you when you came to this realization?
Oh my god, probably like
8, 9?
8 or 9, yeah.
Now, the next question, if you were to go live on an exotic island, somewhere you actually really want to be, you're not stranded there, it could be a resort, but there's no streaming. You're going to have to bring, for 1 year, you're going to have to bring a DVD of your favorite, of a movie you could watch over and over again, and a CD or album.
Okay.
Of something you really... So what would that album... What would that movie and what would that album be?
The album... I'm looking up the actual name of it. I don't think it has, like... Okay. I would bring the album by the Eagles. I think it's literally just... I don't know what the album is actually titled, but it's, like, with, like Witchy Woman and The Best of My Love... It's like their greatest hits. I would bring their greatest hits, the Eagles, that. And then I would probably, the movie I would bring would probably be, I feel like a movie that I can just like rewatch over and over and over is just like a classic, just like the Breakfast Club is like, I could just rewatch that like a billion times. Any classic sort of like 80s movie I would bring.
So how did you land on that? Because you're mentioning the Eagles, which I one of the first songs I remember hearing as a kid is Hotel California. How did you stumble across that? Was that something your parents listened to, or did you come by it on your own? And how did you end up liking these 80s movies?
I've always just loved 80s movies. I think my mom showed me a lot of them when I was younger because they're great. So I've always just had a love for them. And then with the Eagles, I've always known who they were, obviously, because of Hotel California. But I only recently just started, like, maybe like a year ago, I really started listening to their music. Because I was hanging out with Michael Gandolfini, and he was playing, like, their greatest hits album. And I was like, oh my god, this is great. So, yeah. Shout out to Michael for that.
Now, if you were to define...
Yeah.
For goodness, it sounds like you got one of those...
I don't know what's going on behind me right now. I think someone's, like, mowing their lawn. Or, like, leaf blowing.
Oh, that's I can still hear you just fine. So
okay, great.
Now, if you were to define from the time you get up till the time you go to sleep, you know, the component parts of a perfect day for you.
Okay.
Things that need to show, like for me, got to have that cup of coffee in the morning. And then, but what would those component parts be? And you're like, that's the perfect day for me.
I think my perfect day, I'm like very much introverted. So I think a perfect day for me would be so boring. I would wake up at like... My favorite time to wake up is like 9, I feel like is a good, sometimes it's a little later, sometimes a little earlier, but like 9 is like my fave because I feel like it's like you get a perfect amount of time in the morning before the noon to feel productive for me. So like waking up at 9 and then like going to eat at like, I don't know, like 12, eat some breakfast, I'd go to like Bouvet or something, a cute breakfast place, I'd get a coffee, and then I'd probably do a little shopping. I'd go to like a vintage store and get some vintage clothing, and then I'd go home, and then I'd watch people play like video games on YouTube for a little bit. And then
wait. So you like watching people play? That's one thing I've never understood. My son has done that, but it's like you're watching them play, but I kind of get it if you're trying to learn how to do it or something. But you know, okay, so we learned something about you. You like watching people play video games.
I love YouTube.
I'm not passing any judgment whatsoever. I'm just like
you
observing.
Can. It's okay. It's just, it's relaxing for me for some reason. I also play like a little bit of video games, not too much.
What's your favorite game though?
My favorite game ever is called Stardew Valley, and it's a farming game where you just have a little farm, and that's it. It's a quiet life. You grow your crops, you mingle with the village people, and that's it. That's all you do, and it's like my favorite.
Is this PlayStation kind of game?
Yeah, it's PlayStation.
Okay.
And then I also love Red Dead and Ghost of Tsushima.
Yeah, Red Dead. Yeah, that's crazy. Red Dead Redemption, because I know I do voiceover a lot, and mm-hmm. I know I don't do animation or video game, but
yeah.
A lot of people I know do, and that was that game is pretty.
It was
big.
Massive. Like, yeah, it's so cool. It's like a franchise almost.
Okay, so after you watch the games, how do you kind of wrap your day up? What's the?
I think it would be like go out to like a dinner. Go get some sushi with my best friends, with my best friends ever that I love, Jasmine and Riley. And then I would go home and watch some TV, and then I go to sleep. That's it.
Well, what are you watching right now? What are your shows?
Ooh, right now I'm watching. What am I watching right now? I'm watching. Oh, I just finished the show called Beef. I think A24 did it with Netflix, and it's so good.
Yeah, I've seen that. It's with
Steven Yeun and Ali Wong, and it's so good. It's about like they get like into a road rage.
I've only
rage
seen the first
thing.
Episode.
Okay, so
but I've seen actually the first two episodes. It's mm-hmm. still like I'm still trying to figure out exactly where we're going with this. You know,
it's crazy. It honestly gets so crazy. It's so amazing. But I binged that really fast. And then
I love shows where I just don't know. I'm like, okay, this is something totally different.
Like you never know what's gonna happen. And that's
Right.
So yeah, I just finished that and it was great. That's sort of it right now. And then I'm watching a show called Demon Slayer. But I'm on the very last episode. So like I'm done. It's done. It's over. it's like a cartoon, it's an anime, so it's not like yeah. Oh, and then I'm also watching The Bear. That's what I'm watching right now. I was trying to think of it. The Bear with Jeremy Allen White. I just started, but I'm still on season one.
There's so much stuff out there.
There's so much.
Next question. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, mm-hmm. and the stars aligned differently, what would you want to do for a vocation? What would also kind of turn you on and go, God, I would love to do this as well?
I think I think it's so interesting. I would love to be like, if I didn't act, I think it would be really cool to be like a forensic scientist and like go on like crime scenes and do like, oh, like the blood splattered this way. So that means da da da. You like that stuff, I think is so cool. I love, love, love like Criminal Minds, like shows like CSI, Criminal Minds. Like I love those shows.
I don't know. I don't know if I could do that. Like, I don't know if I could see like people, because you don't meet people on the best day of their life. It's probably the worst day.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. Well, you definitely broke the mold like on that. Like, so crime, like a crime scene. That's very cool. last question I got for you. If you were to mm-hmm. jump into, I usually ask this question in a DeLorean and you go back in time. I usually say when you were 16 years old, you can go offer a piece of advice. We can go a little further back with you. That's totally fine. But if you can think of a time when you're younger that you have a piece of advice to offer yourself, either to make that moment somehow better, more palatable, or more, or to put yourself on an even better path, what would that piece of advice be?
Ooh, I feel like it would just be like, don't care what other people think about you. Like, it's so stupid. Because, like, I feel like when I was younger, I don't have, like, any, like, crazy, like, regrets or anything. But when I was younger, like, maybe I didn't, like ask people to like, hang out as much as I could. You know, it's because like I got so nervous about talking to people that I would psych myself out a lot in certain situations. So just like, you know, it doesn't matter what other people think of you, and you should just be yourself. That's all.
That's a very common thing. Well, different yeah, shadings is. Of that idea. I've heard that multiple times from folks. It's just don't give a damn. You know, do.
Yeah.
Your people will find you. You
exactly. Know, kind of exactly. Yeah. 100%.
But again, Kylie, I so appreciate you taking time because I know you're busy and having to speak to people like me has got to be like, oh my God, I got to do this again.
No, not at all. It's so fun.
Wish you nothing but the best of luck.
Thank you so much. You too.
But you go have yourself a really wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you so much.
And,
you too.
Hopefully we'll catch up down the line.
Yes, for sure. Thank you so much.
Okay. There you go. The lovely Kylie Rogers. Great conversation. Very talented young lady. It's so weird to say young lady. She's my kid's age. I'm going to go get the Werther's candies out of my pocket here. feeling old. All right, so there you go. Enjoyed this conversation quite a bit. Don't forget the name of the movie is Landscape with Invisible Hand. It is streaming right now. Check it out. Back with another episode soon. Another great conversation. Again, thank you so much for being a part of what we got going on right here. You can go to storyandcraftpod.com. Check out everything about the show. Send me a note. Appreciate the emails very much. Always like hearing from you. All right, that's it for me. I'm heading on out of here. You have yourself a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on Story and Craft. Take care.
That's it for this episode of Story and Craft. Join Mark next week for more conversation right here on Story and Craft. Story and Craft is a presentation of Mark Preston Productions, LLC. Executive producer is Mark Preston. Associate producer is Zachary Holden. Please rate and review Story and Craft on Apple Podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast app. You can subscribe to show updates and stay in the know. Just head to storyandcraftpod.com and sign up for the newsletter. I'm Emma Dillon. See you next time, and remember, keep telling your story. Come on.